Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I am with a very special guest by the name of Jen Ephraim. Jen has been a guest and has sat down at the mic with me before, but I'm inviting her back to the mic because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, as well as Mental Health Awareness Month. And thank God Jen has become a survivor of both of these very important issues. And she's going to sit at the mic with us and, you know, tell us about her journey and encourage others that if she's a survivor, they can become a survivor as well. Thank you for sitting at the mic with me again, my dear friend. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, friend?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, October is a big month, of different awarenesses in our community. One being, you know, where you see all the beautiful women, the survivors in their pink. And also when you see our brothers and sisters who are battling mental health issues and concerns. Mm-hmm. And this month being a month that we can support them and bring awareness to these different challenges. That we all face. Let's talk about your mental health journey, and then we'll talk about your current journey with the breast cancer. Now, you had a low point. I want to say it's almost a year ago, right?
Almost a year ago. It started out this year, so January. Yeah, I had a mental breakdown.
Okay, and how did that come on? So people will know. This is really, you know, important. There are different stressors in our life, and we don't know, you know, these stressors and these triggers, and you think that you're managing everything. You think everything is okay, you know, to the best of your ability or the best of our ability, that it was something that had to be significantly heavy to make you have the low that you had.
It really started, you know, months prior, you know, to having the mental breakdown. Life started, you know, happening and changing from, you know, my oldest child graduating high school and, you know, starting his adult college life. I was also, after being married 17, 18 years, was going through a divorce.
Right.
So we were going through that separation period. It was, you know, the pulling back and the division of the family. Mm-hmm. You know, my child that's starting his new life and his adult life, you know, just panicking about that, you know, being a mom, and as my kids like to call me.
And he's leaving the nest, you know,
he's leaving the nest going across the other side of the world. You know, it was just like, it was a lot. It was a lot going on.
And I would say also, not only to mention your son, you have your two twin daughters
who are trying to manage
what the things that they're going through, especially during the divorce. And then their brother is about to go off to college.
Exactly. So I'm feeling guilty because, you know, they're losing so much too.
Yeah.
You know, they're going through their changes. You know, they're middle school.
Yeah.
Age, and you already know how stressful that is. You know, so I mean, it was a lot going on in life, like we all have.
Yeah.
But like you said, I was thinking I'm managing it well. I'm thinking, okay, if I meditate longer, you know, and just keep the smile on, you know, paint the face, put on a smile, and keep it going, then you will be okay. But I was not, you know, I was not okay in my body. You know, showed that, and January came around, and it was at the breaking point. So, you know, they say the straw that broke the camel's back, you know, that happened, you know.
When the straw had its breaking point, what was going on? When you went to a place that you weren't even familiar with, what was it? Tell me, Brink, take us back. Now you can look back because they say hindsight is everything, right? I want us to be able to encourage somebody today because somebody is at that breaking point and they want to probably give up like you did.
Oh gosh.
But we're saying, but God. And so, all right. So tell us what happened. Where were you? I mean.
So, yes, I was at the point where it was extremely dark. When I say extremely dark, like blacked out for a couple of days, not even knowing, you know, if I was still here. Mm-hmm. You know, went from rage and anger to, you know, the sad and, you know, feel guilty and you know, want to beat yourself up because you're so disappointed at everything, everybody. So, you know, cycles of days, I remember, you know, hours and days of just going through all of those emotions and just, allowing myself to get so low, so deep, so sad, so depressed, so dark that I wanted to, at the time, thought I wanted to end my life.
Right.
You know, but I really just didn't want my life to keep going on the way it was going. Yeah. But when you're that low and you're that dark, you know, you hurt yourself without knowing that you're already hurting yourself because the pain was so, you know, you just want to take the pain away. Okay. So, you know, I went through that, and that's really what, you know, I know now that I was gone and I was brought back, mm-hmm. you know, and thankfully, you know, stayed in the hospital in Austin, Texas for several days before I was sent to the mental hospital.
And you, when you blacked out, you basically took pills?
A little bit of everything. You know, like days of going through the anger and pain. So, you know, the not eating,
okay,
just drinking.
Taking the pills and drinking and...
Oh, yeah. You know, if I could get my hands on a little bit of, you know, other drugs that can make it, you know, numb, but keep me up and hot.
Numb the pain.
Yeah, just anything to numb the pain. And just, you know, did that for several days. You know,
your body could not take that. Your body was like...
No. Exactly. The body just went into shock.
Yeah.
You know, like, no. You know, we got to stop.
Right.
And like I said, I remember it just being like days later. So it was the darkest. That was the low. That was the cry for help. And, you know, that's when you know God has your back.
God
got you.
So in this dark period, and I'm hoping that we can explain this and articulate it to somebody. The person that needs to hear this, who, if you are at that place where you're saying it's no need for me to be here anymore, those voices, those false voices and those negative attacks that's coming from, I say to enemy, to tell you that you're not worthy, you're not good enough, and you start to believe it based upon that depression. Now you're at this place where, you know what, that's true. So I'm just going to numb this pain. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have a drink. I'm okay. I can manage this. Maybe I'll even be able to get out of it by myself. You know, I'm
exactly.
You know,
exactly. I've gone through this before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I just partied real good, you know, for a weekend and got over it. Yeah. Kept it moving. Yeah.
But at this stage, and you being on the other side, and I'm again, we're in this technology world, and it's amazing because I'm looking at you and I see this light. It's reflective from your window, but it's like a halo. It's a light, and I know that's God. I know that's God. It's crazy. I just want to recognize that, because that's the thing when you go in from darkness to light, because it's the reason you're here. It's a reason that you're able to tell this story to be able to encourage someone. So as we move forward, what happened? Because you were at a place where you were crying for help now and to coming into this light.
I thought about, honestly, my three kids.
Your three kids. And then what did you do?
My three kids. Yeah. And it was no longer about me and my pain and what, you know, ever I had gone through, whatever hurt I felt and disappointment, those three kids. Okay. You know, my three babies that I felt, what would happen to them? What's going to happen to them, knowing that this is how I've left them?
Something in you allowed you to make a call. Who did you make that call to?
I called my son first.
Your son.
And I called my son.
Called your son. So what were you telling him at that stage? Were you saying goodbye or were you saying, I need help?
No. Just hearing his voice, it brought light. know, there was no way I could have said goodbye. You know, hearing his voice and knowing that he was smiling, even though I know he was hurt on the other end of that phone, just knowing that he was still here. You know, he's my light. He's always been my rock. He's always been my sunshine. So I immediately start feeling like, okay, I got this. I can do this. You know, and I reassured him that I was going to take care of my health. I was going to stay here and get well. And that's when I really accepted the help.
He calls for help for you, correct?
Oh, yeah. And I didn't even realize that.
So he could hear it in your voice.
Yes, and he can hear it in my voice. He can breathe through. Like, you're not, you know, fooling me, Mom. So, you know, but my son is the one that, you know, contacted and knew what I needed. I needed some mental help. So, you know, I had to accept the help from him.
And he knew this because, you know, you and I spoke about when you were going through your challenges and getting on the right dosage of medication, because that was a challenge when you walked in to the understanding of I'm having some issues. So prior to all of this, this is how your son knew you needed help. You were diagnosed with?
With depression and panic attacks. And
so you were already dealing with things, and you had got that. You got that under control. You had the right medication.
Well, I thought I did. I was on medication, so that is another thing. I was actually on medication prior to the incident in January that landed me in the mental hospital. So I was already, you know, a couple of months into taking Lexapro.
Okay.
At that time, and I had, you know, thought I was doing better, but I got off.
You got off of the medication.
Yes. And so
you got off the medication because?
I thought I was feeling better. I took matters into my own hands. Exactly. You know, I didn't like the way it was making me feel in some areas of life, you know, the side effects. And it's just, I think so I feel like, okay, I'm putting too much, you know, chemicals in my body. So I'm feeling better. It's safe. I can get off of this. You know, so that I can be my normal self. But then that ended up not being a good idea.
Right.
And so my kids did see that experience, you know, as well, which was just, you know, a couple of months prior to the other break that landed me in the hospital.
So I wanted to bring that out. And I love you because you're always so authentic and you share your truth in order to help people. And so this was a thing you want to touch base on. After Jen received her diagnosis of depression, she went and she got help, and you know, she couldn't figure out what was going on in her life, and we spoke about this on a previous podcast. And so you got on the right medication, but like most people, we feel like, okay, well, I'm doing better. I can manage this. I don't want all these drugs in my body and, you know, what it could do to my other organs. And okay, I'm fine now. And so you started to wean yourself off of it. And what we're saying right now is if you are on medication that's helping you function daily, stay on that medication. Do not try to get off of it and become your own doctor and self-diagnose yourself as well. Talk to your doctor and tell your doctor what's going on and how you two can manage it together. And so what was happening is that when you made that decision, things were happening that you probably didn't even recognize. Because in your mind, hey, I'm doing better. But people were like, oh, that's a little different behavior. But, you know.
Yes, and then the kids, they remember them, you know, bringing it up. Like, Mom, you're being weird today. Or you're acting strange, you know. But you're thinking, it's all good. Everybody just chill out, you know.
and then here comes the big trigger of, okay, my son is moving on. He's graduating. I'm going through the separation and the finality of my divorce. I'm watching my two twin daughters, middle school, and they're transitioning with divorce, brother leaving. All these things are going on. You're not on your medication, the dosage you're supposed to be on. You're trying to wean yourself off. And then here comes the big stressors, the triggers, and boom, you can't take it anymore. You can't manage it anymore. And here you go, going down, you know, in this dark place. But God. And you call your son, he can hear it in your voice. He's talking to you.
He was in Houston.
You're in Austin. He's talking to you, and he's made the call without you knowing it. That's love, and that's God, though. That's God. Yeah. So help comes, and then what happens from there?
Well, I go through the process of, you know, accepting the help, you know, in the mental hospital from friends, you know, that stepped in. That's very special. I call all of them my sisters now. Just received this, you know, amazing support system.
Yeah.
Friends and sisters and family members that had been out of my life for years, you know, some of them for years, you know, that just resurfaced back. And so it was just more God.
Yeah.
More God knew what I needed. Yeah. I needed to, as soon as I accepted the fact, okay, this is the problem, this is an issue, and I have to take care of my mental so that I can be here. You know, as soon as I accepted that help, it was like all God continued to do was bring more help and love and energy and strength around me, which was exactly what I needed, because a couple of months after getting out of mental hospital, I really started taking better care of my health, my physical health. And that's when I found out that I had results were back in. You know, I'm opening mail, I'm answering my emails, I'm back, you know, taking care of myself, going to follow up appointments, and found out that I had breast cancer.
Wow, isn't that something?
Yes, so now.
Isn't that something? I mean, God.
Are you going to trust me again to get you through this?
Yeah, oh my gosh. So you go in for your mammogram. I mean, because you're healthy, you've been released from the hospital, you're back on your medication, everything is going well. You're because like I said with you, you've always been a nutritional goddess. fitness, you know, you're always working out, you eat healthy, you're vegan, you know. And so just trying to get the mental and we always have a spiritual walk, the spiritual, and then you're going physically to get your mammogram, waiting for the results. And then they say, you have a lump in your breast.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, Lord. All right.
Exactly. Okay, now.
I thought I was through the worst of it. Okay, Lord. You know, and.
Yeah. And of course, me, I'm like, well, how big, how small, you know? And unfortunately, it's been a lump that's been there and have been growing. I've, you know, had a biopsy on it back in 2013. Mm-hmm. So. It's serious. Yeah. It's serious enough that it's still growing and, you know, they want to do more tests. So that whole journeys began. And I mean, I'm not really out of the weeds yet. Yeah. So I'm just like, what more can happen?
But God, he can heal. But God, all praise be to him and just getting you with the right doctors so that you transition from one journey to know that he's with you, and now you're going through this journey.
Yeah.
Okay, so they find a lump. What's the process? What did they say? You know, we need radiation, we got to remove it, we have to...
We went through everything, every possibility of, you know, what I would have to go through, you know, what would be a good procedure to have or the best procedure to have. Given family history and going through the BRCA test and getting those results, it was really eye-opening that to me and to my breast specialist. Thank God for her. Dr. Leslie was amazing through all of this. But I mean, we would literally like look at the results, look at, you know, what it looked like on paper and the test results, look at my lifestyle, and then pray. So we came up with the mastectomy. Okay. Now my mother's, two of my aunts, I believe, definitely my grandmother on my maternal side, all had mastectomies.
Okay.
So I was familiar with the procedure.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be the best option mm-hmm. when I, you know, had, you know, and then especially the breast with the lump. Mm-hmm. But then it come with, okay, what about the second one? You know, you have two, and yeah, and unfortunately, that breast also had lumps.
Oh my.
So that's where, like, okay, there's no need of doing it's, you know, smaller procedure like a lumpectomy mm-hmm. when I could possibly be dealing with this again in the next couple of years,
right.
especially given the family history. So that's when I decided to have the double mastectomy, and that started my journey in August. But really and truly, it started much prior to August. But
where you yeah. found out, yeah, and going
from the time I found out, going through all of the doctor appointments and getting prepared. I believe my first surgery was supposed to be in March.
Yeah. Oh, then we have COVID.
Yeah, well, yeah, then we had that.
Yeah.
And so then we moved it to June, and then I ran into some health issues in June that I had to take care of before I could have the surgery. And then finally, August get here, and I'm, you know, able to have the double mastectomy surgery. But now we're going through the reconstruction.
Right.
Process, and that has been a whole nother journey. So I'm still on my journey.
We know that your journey is going to end up with good results because God is on your side, just from being able to make it from different areas, be it from the darkness to the light. And this is just another part yeah. of the journey where you can bless people with your testimony. So as far as the reconstructive phase,
mm-hmm.
What is that about? How, like, if a woman is in the place and she's been diagnosed and mm-hmm. she's going to have a double mastectomy, what can she expect?
Well, luckily for me, and thank God, my pathology reports came back and my doctor was able to remove 98% of the breast tissue, both breast tissue. So I'm free and clear, and I do not have to do any other testing right now, like radiology or chemo, anything like that. She was able to remove everything. So I was able to go ahead and start my reconstruction surgery a little sooner, given those odds. So that's when the plastic surgeon comes in and basically rebuild, you know, your breast. From scratch,
right.
Because, you know, yes, from scratch. I mean, she has very limited to, you know, tissue to work with.
Right.
And then it's also on a time frame. You know, you can't heal completely flat, and you know, are you going to go above the muscle, under the muscle? You know, is it going to sit this way? So
right.
it's literally been like Build-A-Bear.
Wow.
And so the body is not really reacting to the best mm-hmm. with that process either. So it's just
a journey.
Part of the journey.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
And everybody has a different experience with their journey. But mm-hmm. What has been the most challenging as you are in this next phase of recovery? Share that with people. And it's just so that they know what to expect. You know, the doctors are going to give you every possible scenario, I'm sure. But there are mm-hmm. some things that can be unexpected, I would say.
Well, with the year of 2020 and everything being so unexpected.
I said God just was reminding us that He is in charge. So you can,
oh yes, you know, oh yes.
Like,
so.
But He's like, I'm still in control.
I'm still in control. You know, every week is going to be another unexpectancy. But my newest unexpectancy, other than the challenge with my body not reacting, having a positive reaction to the expanders.
Hold on one second. Explain what expanders are to a person that does not know what an expander is. What is an expander?
Okay, so the expanders are, they're not silicone, but they're like bags. That is placed in the in the chest area where the breast was, mm-hmm. so that I could heal in a certain way, like I guess not completely flat, basically. Okay. You know, so as you're going through the healing process from the mastectomy, mm-hmm. you want the tissue, you know, to kind of stay stretchy enough so that your breast doctor can go back in, the plastic surgeon can go back in and place the implants.
The implants. So just having something in place so that the skin is stretched enough, the body can during the healing. So this is a temporary, expanders are the temporary before you get the permanent. Okay.
So that's a process, you know, mm-hmm. that I have to go through.
Right. What's going on with your body? Or you're having some issues with the expanders. What's going on? What's happening with you currently?
Building up fluid.
Okay.
You know, in the chest area. I mean, so I've gone from having four tubes in to now manually getting drained, you know, weekly or sometimes twice a week. My body is just not healing 100%, you know, not healing properly. So, and it, you know, trying to keep down from getting an infection, not healing properly, and just having the pain, the pressure, sometimes even to the point where it's making me nauseous, you know, going to the doctor every week
to be drained.
To get drained it's a process. And it's like, okay, I know it's not supposed to happen like this.
What is your doctor saying?
Well, she wanted me to heal, you know, safely as well and, you know, give me enough healing time. But she's also, you know, looking at the possibility of putting the implants in sooner.
Okay.
You know, than keeping me, you know, going through this, you know, terrible process, an uncomfortable process. So, you know, we're weighing all the odds.
Well, how long is the normal, or I'm doing quotations now, projected mm-hmm. healing time?
This is not normal. This is not normal.
How long is the normal healing time before a person would move into, you know, the last stage being a healing time?
Natural or normal healing time, I would say about 90 days.
90 days, okay.
But I've, you know, ran into these issues like at 50 days, 60 days. Yes, so we're just, you know, we're trying to hold off that long. The surgery is definitely needed. It's time for the expanders to come out because I'm, you know, having so many issues with them. Yeah. But then I ran into my other 2020, you know, just keep giving it to me, you know. So, yes, my next issue ran into, we had a surgery date. Yeah. On the table, on the calendar, you know, beginning of October. Now, I think around the 60-day mark, you know, we're going to go ahead and go in to complete the surgery and found out that I was dropped from my insurance.
Which is crazy. That blows a person's mind. After
being
covered for the other portions of surgery,
You
mentioned something to me prior. You said this is an elective surgery, according to the insurance. That blows my mind. How can something be elective when you need to get it removed?
Blows my mind too. So I'm also, my business partner and best friend, she and I have been going around and around trying to figure out, you know, what's right, what is not right, you know, how could this happen, you know, how can we fix it under, you know, a certain time frame, and how could any of this, you know, happen during this time? Like you said, you know, not only am I healing and the first half was covered, you know, how is this not surgery how's this an elective surgery and not life threatening when every week, you know, I'm seeing the doctor to keep from getting an infection. And I mean, I've even been on medications and still on medications, you know, to keep from getting infections. And so I don't know, but I have to have the surgery. You know, I have to, you know, get this fixed.
Yeah.
So I've filled out all the proper paperwork to try to get some kind of coverage and insurance coverage. We know how long that process takes, you know, 30, 45 days. So I have done, you know, those things to try to take care and get some kind of care and coverage. But in the meantime, my friend Jacqueline, she came up with a great idea, and she started a GoFundMe page for me.
Okay.
To help me raise the funds. So the GoFundMe page, you know, we launched it about 4 days ago.
Okay.
And that's my, that's what I'm focusing on right now. You know, staying hopeful, staying, you know, grateful for my friends and family that, you know, can give and that, you know, can allow me to tell my story. I mean, I just got on the phone and start calling, and you know how I am. I spill it all, you know, TMI.
No, it's good. You know, the blessing about being in recovery from anything is being able to share the testimony in order to help other people.
Yeah.
That is one of the things that has always, always felt that light and that magnetic appeal that you have, because it's your realness and your rawness. And some people carry the shame. Once you get past the carrying the shame and the guilt and all that other stuff on your shoulder, and once you get to that other side, you, it's like, what do I have to lose? This is me. I'm telling my story. The right people will be for you, and the wrong people will still be against you, no matter what.
No matter what.
And you keep pressing along. God is with you, because I'm still seeing this light. I still see this light, right? But I love it because it's like nothing is going to disrupt your progress. And it's like, okay, I'm going from this stage to this stage and this stage, and now here it is. I'm going to have this surgery. So you're going to be back on the show again telling us how this miraculous surgery happened and how you brought all these people together. And then now you'll be able to help somebody else. Like, don't give up now. Don't give up. Your story is like, don't give up. That is why you are a survivor.
Exactly.
You are a survivor. So you have GoFundMe page. Where can people want to donate to this?
It's on GoFundMe. It's under Jenns, and that's JENN'S, Fight to Recover After Mastectomy. Jacqueline Levine is on her behalf.
Okay.
So, and it's a picture of me. You know, anything, any donation, any size.
Yeah.
I understand what everyone's going through right now, but for me, I know that God has not brought me this far to, you know, for me to give up now. I'm at the finish line.
No.
So, you know, all I need is a little bit cheering, guys, and I'm going to pass the finish line. And like you said, we'll have a whole nother story. And FYI, I might have to flash you because everybody going to see these movies. Everybody gonna see these new boobies. They gonna be the most important boobies when they finally get there.
She'll be like, girl, look what the Lord blessed me with. Hallelujah.
That's right. Hallelujah. What are we doing?
Boy, I love it. I love it. And I love you.
I love you.
Thank you, as always, for being so vulnerable, so open, so authentic, and sharing your testimony. And I congratulate you for being a survivor, not only through the mental health challenges to be able to overcome that and survive that and be a testimony, but also going through this breast cancer journey and surviving it. I mean, because if you didn't, you know, go and do the mammogram, you wouldn't have known that the lump was there. So the women, we talk about self-examinations. We talk about making sure you get your annual mammogram. Those things are life-saving.
Yes, and stay on it. Stay on your, you know, process. Follow up. Have your follow-up appointments. Don't feel like, you know, okay, I can heal myself. I got this. No, they're doctors for a reason. Get all the, a good communication plan with your doctor, you know, where, you know, you feel comfortable communicating, you know, what feels right, what feels wrong, right. You know, someone that's going to listen to you and help you come up with the proper plan too.
Exactly. It's important to know that you are loved, you are worthy, you are created in the image of God. He does not make mistakes. And it is important for us to remember that even at our lowest points. And when we don't, call that friend. The Lord will put something in your spirit to say, call that family member, call that friend. Yeah. And you will know that you will hear his voice. So don't ever get so low that you forget who you are. You are a child of the Most High God. And nobody can take that away. Nobody.
Ashe, thank you, sister. Love you.
All right, I love you more.
Jen, thank you so much for sitting at the mic with me and sharing your beautiful testimony and journey of being a survivor of mental illness and learning how to manage it and coming from a place of darkness into the light and being an encouragement to others that if you can do it, they can do it as well, and getting the necessary help you need to be able to flourish. And that's a blessing. And so I'm so grateful for that, as well as going to get that yearly mammogram and doctors finding a lump that you were able to have removed, going through the mastectomy and the reconstruction process, even when bumps come along the way, learning to be positive and remembering what you have survived already. It just continues to give one hope that your journey will continue to be one that you can share of what it truly means to be a survivor. So continued prayers your way. If you guys would like to donate to Jen's GoFundMe page, it is Jen's Fight to Recover After Mastectomy, and it's organized by Jacqueline Levine. So we wish you nothing but continued success. To the listener out there, or listeners going through your own personal challenges, your own personal journey of just finding out about that diagnosis for breast cancer, or just doing yourself breast examination and feeling the lump, or going through your own low period, do understand that there is help. Do understand that there is no shame. Do understand that you are worthy, and even through the challenges, there is help. Even through the challenges, you are more than enough. And there is light at the end and throughout the journey. So find the necessary help you need, and know that there are people who are out there willing and able to stand with you. Always know that you do not have to travel these journeys alone. It's a whole lot of us out here, ready, willing, and able to support. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. May you have a blessed week. God bless. Until the next podcast.